Next, we have Michelle Thorne. She has been a registered nurse for, and we'll save questions till the end. So we'll do questions for all the panelists at the end. So next, we have Michelle Thorne. She's been a registered nurse for over 23 years, with the last 13 years spent in public health. She graduated with her master's degree in nursing from Wayne State University, and she is currently the personal health manager at Calhoun County Public Health Department in Battle Creek, Michigan. She's had several opportunities to speak on health issues both nationally and internationally, including the countries of Burma and Uruguay. So we're really excited to have her with us today. Thanks.
So I'm up here to beg and plead and say that public health wants to stay in the game. We want to be included under the tent, and we have just as much right to all that money as everyone else. So, amen. All right, you can all read that. Okay, so Battle Creek, Michigan, we're a population of about 136,000, give or take. We are a heavy industrial city, and you might have heard of some of our industrial partners, manufacturers, small-time, you know, Kellogg's, Post. Don't know if you've heard of Ralston. We also have quite a few Japanese manufacturers that are moving in, car parts and batteries. So at any given time, the economy can affect our city and our county overall as a whole. We also have a very large population of Burmese refugees that are coming into our city. We currently have a population of about 3,000, and so that makes for very changing dynamics. So what is Affordable Care Act supposed to do? It's supposed to lower costs on coverage. It's supposed to expand Medicaid eligibility. It is a health insurance marketplace for people to kind of check things out. Essential health benefits are covered. Pre-existing conditions are covered. And fees will begin 2014. So if you don't sign up, you're going to have to pay a fee. Okay, so just on the sideline, I researched that, and I don't know if this is changing, but the fee is $95 a year. What does the local health department do? This is very similar across the state of Michigan. I would assume it's probably very similar across the nation as well. We all have very strong and abundant immunization programs. We all have sexually transmitted disease and HIV programs. Most of us have communicable disease control programs that are actively working among you, whether you see them or not. And many of us have tuberculosis control programs, especially with the Burmese coming into Michigan. We have a very strong tuberculosis program. We have probably about 80% of the Burmese that come into our country are considered latent TB, and so there is follow-up that has to be done on those. We also have hearing and vision screening programs. That was a vision. And I thought the dark background with the white, I thought that would be helpful, but apparently not. So that is what we do pre-ACA. And other services that we provide, women, infants, and children programs, also known as WIC, Children's Special Health Care Programs. Both of these provide a lot of education. The WIC will do nutrition education, growth assessment, problem solving between the parent and the children if there are issues with that growth assessment. The Children's Special Health Care Program is a liaison between family insurance and medical providers. So we work to make sure that when there are some issues going on, that the insurance is understanding what needs to be done, that the provider understands what hoops they have to jump through, and the family gets ultimately what they need, which is the most important part in that program. Health education programs, prevention, we do a lot of teen pregnancy, smoking, asthma, a lot of that, you know, all the new issues that are going on with obesity. So we're all wanting to try and move into obesity prevention and education and trying to get some of those dollars. We also have a nurse family partnership program, which is a very intense in-home relationship between a nurse and a first-time mom with the goal of reducing fetal and infant mortality. And I can tell you that the nurse family partnership over the last 3 years has decreased the infant mortality rates in Calhoun County by 50% and over. So we're seeing those numbers drop significantly. These are extremely important programs. Refugee health assessment. We're screening every single one of these refugees that come into our country, making sure that they're not, number one, coming into our country with diseases that are going to burden the health system and also that are going to spread to the rest of our community. That is population health. So somebody said, you know, with ACA coming about, the local health departments are probably, they're not going to need to have any more clinics. So any of you that are from CDC, the rumor with local health departments are CDC thinks that we're not going to be needed anymore with all of this reform going on. And I'm here to show you today that that is not true and that hopefully we can remain in the game, if not become a stronger partner in this whole game overall. So I wanted to show you just a snapshot over the last year of what our clients look like. Immunizations alone, 10% of our immunization clients claim that they have incomes low enough that they qualify for a 0% pay on a sliding fee scale. We have about 100% or 18% that qualify for 100% pay, which means that they tell us that their income is in that level for 100% pay, but yet they're not claiming that they have any type of insurance coverage. So they're willing to pay 100% out of pocket. Now, sometimes this will also include the employer who's sending their employee in to get their hepatitis B series, so they'll pay 100%. So that's, you know, I don't want you to walk away and go 20% of the people in Battle Creek have no insurance, but they're making a lot of money, because that's just not true. We see about 14% overall that have insurance that we bill for immunizations, and a big whopping 45% of Medicaid that we see. Now move down to STDs, and we do try and bill for services. So 47% of our clients that come through the STD department say that they basically qualify for a 0% pay. 40% qualify in the 100% pay. And I will tell you that some of those are people that have insurance that either, number one, do not want to proclaim that they have insurance, or number two, they do not want billings done to their insurance for anonymity's sake. And we see about 2% that we can bill insurances. And I will tell you, of the services that we provide in the STD clinic, what we can bill to the insurance company is a venipuncture fee, and we get $2 back from the insurance company. So for every client that we see in the STD department that has insurance and we bill, we get $2 for. Medicaid, we see about 3%, surprisingly. And down at the bottom, I don't know if you can see those numbers, our immunization clients, 3,755, and 1,381 patients in the STD department. Okay, so immunizations. Typically, what we can bill for as a local health department, we can bill insurance companies for the cost of the vaccine. We do not. We participate in a program called the Vaccine for Children program, which is your free vaccine that's provided through your federal dollars working. And we can also bill for an immunization admin fee, the going rate, reimbursement rate from Medicaid/Medicare is $7 per shot. And some insurances will pay us a little bit more than that. We are not able to charge any other such as office visits or well child visits, anything like that. Office visits on both sides, STD and immunizations, only if you have a MD, NP, or a PA on staff. And we do not have those in health departments typically. We've had a nurse practitioner posted for over a year and had no takers. Might be because of the amount of money that we're unable to pay them or able to pay them, however. Lab tests, if we do the lab tests on site, so if we do a pregnancy test, we will get very small feedback from those insurance companies for providing that. And we're talking about $8. Education, not if done by an RN. So all of the immunization education that we provide to the clients, we get zero payment for that. All that talking to that first-time mom about the side effects and everything, we get no money for that. Tuberculosis case management, we get no money for that. We go out and make sure that these people are not spreading TB, and we go out and do DOT, which is directly observed therapy, watching them take their medicine so we know they're taking their medicine. Sometimes those are daily visits. We get no money for that. Disease investigation, when we're going out and making sure that people are being treated correctly for any diseases, foodborne, waterborne, we get no money for that from the insurance companies. We cannot bill for those. HIV and STD screening, not if it's done by an RN. If you have a nurse practitioner, a PA, or a physician working, then you can bill for those services. Okay, so we're going to slip through these really quick because I'm running out of time, but there are a lot of healthcare provider shortage areas, and you are considered in a shortage area if you have one provider for every 3,500 population, I guess would be the appropriate. Obviously, the colored spaces, there are some shortages. So this is not just a Battle Creek or a Michigan issue. This is a nationwide issue. The numbers are needed to meet. There are going across the medical realm, the dental realm, and the mental health realm. So there are shortages overall. As far as the services that we can provide post-ACA, we can continue and will continue to provide those services because they are what we are considered is the gap provider. So when these people cannot get these services done anywhere else, they come to us. And so we are kind of the provider of the last resort. And I can tell you that we do an excellent job at doing what we do because we are very focused on those items. So it's not like a provider in an office who has to, number one, you've got to check that BMI, and number two, you've got to address the blood pressure issues, and number three, you've got to get this documentation in your chart to meet all of your insurance, and go on and on. We are focused in immunization, so we'll do it right the first time. We are focused in STD, so we'll do it right the first time. And that is not to say that there are any issues with the providers. There are very good providers out there, but there are mistakes being made, and that is a waste of money. And I'm here to tell you that when you have a group of people that are focused on these issues, they can do them very well. And we want to do them very well. And we want to be a partner in the process. So how do we get there? We've got all this legislation going on and all of these policies looking at who needs to get paid for the services. Okay, and so there are not a lot of policies and legislation going on looking at the registered nurse who provides STD services to the client. There is legislation for the community health worker from the hospital going out. There is legislation for the social workers on the mental health side. There are not a lot of health departments that can afford to have nurse practitioners and physicians working and seeing patients on a day-to-day basis. So you get your bang for your buck by using registered nurses. Medicare and Medicaid billing codes need to cover codes for us. There are codes for labs, ambulatory centers, home health, FQHCs, hospitals. There's even a transitional care management code, which is basically caring for the patient as they go from inpatient to their outpatient or community setting or their home. How can there be codes for that and yet not be any billing codes for local health departments? They are trying to fit us in to a model that is not going to work for every person in this nation. So we need to look outside of the box. NATRO's doing a really good job working with the health departments, trying to come up with some tools to help local health departments who have not been in the billing game for long. So they're trying to help us move forward in that billing game. They're also trying to seek out more resources and try and move this whole issue forward. So they have a great toolbox at natro.org/topics. And I think if you go there and look for their billing toolkit, you can find that. Collaboration must occur between the comprehensive health centers and the local health departments. We see the same patients. Why is a patient going from the health department and then going to the FQHC? On the same day at times. How is that not a waste of money? We're seeing the same patients. We need to partner our services. Working together is what it's about. Moving forward, trying to bring primary care and local health, public health, to merge on that highway of population health. Once we merge together, we can move forward and create better care, which brings about the promotion of health and wellness, and it decreases that lower illness rates and then the lower health care costs. So please don't forget public health. We are out there. The local health departments, we want to do our job. None of us are in it for the money. I can guarantee you that. Please don't forget us in this whole process. Thank you.